things that are labeled Golf Delta, and there's five of them feeding the five transistors. Is that a isolation transformer? When you get there, Glenn, that's going to be one of the first questions.
We used to have, something happens here in these kinds of diagrams. Basically, what they're showing there is a very, very theoretical diagram of something that's not very, very practical. And what they're really showing is a trigger generator, and they're just drawing a very, very simple block diagram of a gate drive. GD is a gate drive, which is really just a lot of nonsense, because what they've drawn there is just not practical, and it's just not a real circuit.
So if the trigger generator is feeding the primaries of those five transformers, GD, if GD is a transformer, and trigger generator feeds the primaries, and each individual floating secondary feeds each one of those MOSFET transistors, I think that is then a viable circuit. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, let's put it this way. I see six transistors there, and six of the GDs, and some of the best power MOSFETs that I'm aware of that I was going to mention to Wesley before, like the 13N 1500s. It's only 1500 volts max. So 1500 times 6 doesn't get me to 12 kV.
Oh, but they could use the Glenn transformer from 1000 to 10,000, and that will, the only problem will be just to have one MOSFET and driven from a pulse generator.
Plus, there are all kinds of things missing from this schematic. One is, like, the power MOSFETs, they don't want to share. And the gate drivers, remember the diodes and the zeners and all this other stuff? This is not a practical circuit. It's just, this is a theoretical drawing with everything missing.
Okay, guys. I have sent to both of you, to Glenn and to Dig, and also to John, a simple driver that I have made by myself on the transistor TIP-142, which gave me a 10 kilovolts. The problem with that I have had is it was used to drive a flyback transformer. It didn't give me the ability to create a copy of what I'm getting from the generator on the outside of the flyback. So flyback was matched to the resonance, which was 45 kilohertz, something like that. I was getting the right amplitude, but it was a sine wave. So and it worked. I didn't try it with a device. It's not what I'm looking for. I wonder if, Glenn, did you have a chance to look at that video?
Yes, I did, Wesley, but here again, we're like getting way off topic here. In other words, the problem that you're having with the Fluke is it doesn't have the power to drive the transformer. Right now, in other words, you need, just to get past the magnetization current, you're going to need like 500 milliamps. So the Fluke is out. You know, it can't be used. In between is an amplifier. In other words, you need something like a pair of MOSFETs to drive this. So you're going to need 1500-volt MOSFETs. You have the 1500-volt, or 1,000-volt DC power supply, and you've already got the signal generator. So the only thing you'd really have to buy at this point in time is the two power MOSFETs and a small gate drive audio transformer that'll give you some good bandwidth so that you can operate from, like, 20 to 100 kilohertz and get the waveforms that you need.
The transformer is going to distort the wave form, right or wrong?
Well, a good audio transformer or, a fairly good broad transformer shouldn't be too bad. I mean, it might get a little bit of rounding, but not a tremendous amount, not at those frequencies.
Do you think about it, Dick?
I think there are well-made transformers with a ferrite core that can give you a rather clean pulse reproduction to close to 100 kilohertz. That's what I believe. As long as you're not asking now for a tremendous number of windings where the capacitance between the windings becomes significant, or the capacitance between the turns. A well-made transformer can give some pretty nice waveforms. You take, for instance, the flyback transformer that's used in an old-fashioned television set. Yes, it was only running at 15 kilohertz, but it was making a sawtooth waveform, and the trailing edge of that sawtooth had a very sharp edge to it with not very much ring. So that transformer did reproduce 15 kilovolts of sawtooth, which is probably the equivalent of 50 kilohertz of sine wave, is my guess. So what are you thinking on that one, Glenn? KC2QIQ, K2RIW?
I think basically what Wesley is looking for right now is he needs a low impedance drive to get the waveforms that he's looking for. The transformer that I gave him will do that, but unfortunately the Fluke amplifier just isn't powerful enough to do it. But I'm still quite sure, Wesley, that with two power MOSFETs and a small audio drive transformer, you won't have a problem. Keep in mind, too, flybacks are not good waveform generators. They're basically energy storage devices, and then they release. So, what you're looking at, when you're comparing like a audio transformer or a waveform voltage coupled transformer, is going to have much better waveforms than a flyback transformer.
There's a way you can broadband. Let me try. He's most likely going to be using some kind of power transistors to actually make the, let me pick a number, kilovolt square wave waveform at his frequency, which is maybe 30 kilohertz. The driver signal to each one of those transistors, if there's going to be multiple transistors in series, the gate drive transformer only has to produce 5 or 10 volts. 5 or 10 volts coming out of a transformer at 30 kilohertz is very easy. And if you're worried about that waveform, you put the right kind of a damping resistor on the secondary winding of that transformer that's feeding the MOSFET gate. And now you can make that very broadband. You have to apply a little bit more power to it, but I think it can be a very faithful reproduction of the waveform that's fed into that gate driver transformer. See if you agree with that, Glenn. KC2QIQ, K2RIW.
I think I see where this is going, Dick. I think what Wesley's going to want me to do is to wind him a small gate drive transformer with a 1-to-1 ratio. Back to you, Dick. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
No. I really don't need that. What I'm saying is, no. Ken, I'm sorry. He's up. No, what would be helpful is just a piece of paper and then a simple drawing. The way that I design a TIP142 transistor driver was simply that I put a capacitor to isolate from DC, from the base on the transistor. I put a collector on the transistor in series with the primary of the flyback, and then from the other side of the flyback I connected 20 volts from the power supply. Now, I use also the resistor in series to minimize the current on the base, and that was the whole structure. Now, how would you then connect to the small transformer, 10 volt transformer, two MOSFETs, and make it working? My understanding is that if I have a 1000 volt need, then I need only one MOSFET, and I could make it similar fashion. Now, my generators are anywhere from 15 volts to 100 volts, depends on which one I'm using, and to experience.
Well, unfortunately, Wesley, you're going to need the two transistors, because what's happening is you need a pull-up and the pull-down on the voltage mode transformer. In other words, the voltage mode transformer has to have equal volt seconds. So where the flyback, you're basically storing energy beyond 50% duty cycle, you can get away with using the one transistor. That's basically how the flyback works. But when you're driving voltage mode transformers, With clean waveforms, you need the pull-up and the pull-down. So you're going to need both. And you're going to need the isolation drive transformer with basically three windings on it. One for the top transistor, one for the bottom transistor, and the two windings will have to be out of phase from each other so that when one MOSFET turns on, the other one is turning off. And then, of course, you know, some kind of a, like a 10K ohm resistor from the gate drive, from the gate to ground, you know, gate to drain on one, and, gate to source on one, and like another 10K from gate to source on the other, with maybe a 10 ohm resistor in series in your transformer. And you should get fairly good waveforms with that. And what I'll try to do during the week is write down the part numbers of the transistors that you need, and maybe draw you up a little schematic on how to connect it up to the large transformer, and how to connect your, say, your 1,000-volt power supply up to this to get it to drive the transformer.
Okay, if you go on point number 2 to C, point number 2C, it's in Polish, but it doesn't matter. In the middle of this page, you're going to see the schematic that is in English. Could you click on it? It says www.money095 electroda and whatever driver, flyback driver. Could you click on this one, guys? It's point C. Go to the middle of the page. Now, when you see the schematic, the flyback driver, just click on it. It's going to enlarge to the right size, easy to see.
Is this the one that's labeled high-speed 600-volt IGBT in NPT technology?
No. The link that I'm talking about is point number 2. You have A, we've been to A, you're skipping B, skipping and going to C. C says, Polish side, please go to the middle of the page and click on the playback driver schematic. It will enlarge the proper size. Do you see that?
When it goes to large size, it lights up.
I was able to open and see it in large size.
So this is a very, very old-fashioned style push-pull transformer driver, where basically they're showing, you know, two MOSFETs over here, basically one with a 40-volt power supply, you know, driving, more, you know, plus and minus pulses by turning on either side of the transformer. You can do much better than this today. I can show you a little IC that does this better.
Let me make sure I'm looking at the right email. Is this the email that you issued at 6:48 p.m. called Rev1?
It's correct. You have been already in point 2, which is called various high voltage switching networks, at point A, MOSFET switch block diagram. You already click on that first link that we were discussing with six MOSFET switches stuck. But I ask you to go to that point number 2, but it's A, B, C. You go to C. This Polish side, please go to the middle of the page and click the flyback driver schematic. It will enlarge the proper size. So when you open up, you see the number of pictures. You go down in the middle of the of that page, you're going to see that ancient design, what Glenn called you. Do you see that?
I'm on the page called the ZVS Flyback Driver. How many pictures down do I go?
John?
Scroll down, Dick. You'll see some white, some black areas come up on your right. And there's a little diagram for the left.
Then you click on it, and it's going to enlarge.
And there's a little white diagram called flyback driver?
That's correct.
I've got that on screen. It looks like a push-pull circuit.
And then Glenn says that this is... this is the old structure, although it does have a positive and negative.
Okay, that so-called flyback driver, what do you not like about that one, Glenn?
Can you guys see me on the HD here in the kitchen?
You're a little noisy, but I'm hearing you.
Yeah, you might have to give me a couple of minutes here. I'm doing laundry downstairs, but I will be listening in the background. CC2QIQ.
Yeah, I think you earlier expressed an opinion that this flyback driver is a kind of an ancient circuit.
Yeah, mainly because, Dick, those two MOSFETs don't have to be driven over 40 volts anymore. It can be done with a simple drive transformer with three windings to drive two power MOSFETs with one single winding. And they have little ICs, little 8-pin ICs, that basically are like 5-amp drivers. They'd never be used anywhere near that, and can be run off of a 12-volt source.
Yeah, this circuit looks like it's running at 40 volts, but the transformer steps it up to high voltage. You'd rather go to the high voltage directly with the FETs, is what I think you're saying.
Yeah, that's basically the circuit that they're using there to drive the power MOSFET gates. In other words, they're trying to use a higher voltage source with two small power MOSFETs, and then basically that's going to swing the gate up and down. As you can see, the old way of doing it nobody uses that anymore.
The disadvantage of this approach, or the advantage of the new approach, is?
Less parts, a lot more expensive and more reliable.
The transistors you're talking about that it can take 1,500 volts, I believe, at how many milliamps, those transistors, you believe they're fast enough. What's the approximate price of those, Glenn?
Well, Dick, that circuit there is not to replace those MOSFETs. That would be the circuit to drive the MOSFETs, those MOSFETs. Do you follow?
I think I do. This flyback driver, though, looks like it's supposed to produce a real high voltage because the secondary transformer on the right-hand side shows what looks like a lightning symbol. I think it's a spark gap.
Those two transistors that you see there that have the 12-volt zeners on them and that are the driver, that's driving one power MOSFET or an IGBT on the other side of the gate of that IGBT that's driving a flyback transformer.
I'm wondering why in that diagram the secondary winding has what looks like a spark gap symbol to it.
That's just a discontinuity symbol to show that there's another circuit on the other side, preferably being the IGBT or the power MOSFET gate and source connection.
So the real power that this circuit is making, this flyback driver, is just driving the capacitance of the gate of the real transistors?
As I said, yuck.
This looks like a power circuit. This circuit has to have a lot of power because it's driving a great big capacitance of the gates of the series transistors. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, before they had good little drive transformers and people knew how to drive good drive transformers, this was the kind of circuitry that people used. Today, you have a good little drive transformer and a nice little IC, and it does all. Then you can plug your signal generator right into the IC input, and it'll drive the currents that you need up and down, and the gate's just fine.
The series transistors that you're advocating, what's your rough guess as to the number of picofarad on that gate that he has to drive? And I think you said it's like a 5 or 10 volt enhancement mode. So when he's making a off-to-on pulse of, let's say, 10 volts, is he driving 100 picofarad on that gate?
I think they're about 5 nanofarads, or 5,000 picofarads.
Oh. So therefore it does require some significant drive power, 5,000 nanofarads. Wow. Okay. So to get a good clean waveform on there requires some steam and maybe some damping resistance to make sure that you don't have a ringing function. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's why I said in general today, they have a, you know, for me to just to drop the transformer, the little driver IC that goes on there that's pretty relatively available, and the two transistors, it's basically like a, you know, a five-part circuit that you can wire up and pretty much get from, like, Mauser or any of the local distributors for probably under $25.
The actual transformer that's really going to drive the 5 nanofarads, is that an off-the-shelf item, or has that got to be homebrewed?
I know that there are ones that are good for, like, 100 kilohertz, but I have to wind something for ones to get down to, like, say, 10 or 20 kilohertz, though.
So I think you're saying the off-the-shelf ones might not go low enough in frequency. There's not enough iron there when it's generating 10 volts.
Yeah, the problem today is that most of the switching circuits that are out there are typically optimized around the 100 kilohertz area. People haven't really operated in the, you know, the 10 and 20 kilohertz inverters for probably the better part of 10 or 15.
Could you stack a couple of them in series in order to get down to a lower frequency?
It doesn't sound like a good idea because then you have all the coupling problems.
If the primaries are in series and the secondaries are in series, each one sees the normal voltage at a much lower frequency, and they would automatically share, as I see it, as long as they're equal to each other. So what's happening when you go down to a lower frequency is the iron saturates at that particular voltage or that particular frequency. Half the voltage, and you can go to half the frequency before you get saturation. Stack enough of them, you can go as low as you want. If they're cheap enough, that's a possible approach. It's a poor man's way of making a low-frequency transformer out of off-the-shelf 100 KC transformers. Is that possible, Glenn?
Yeah, it's possible, but I think if I look around, I should be able to find parts that you can use that are a lot more reasonable, I think. That would be a real last resort.
What's a rough guess as to the price of one of those 100 KC driver transformers?
About $2.
If I had to stock 10 of them to get down to 20 KC, that's a definite approach, sir, Glenn. And with some dividing resistors across them, they would share the voltage.
I still think I would, at that point, just to keep the hairs from rising off the back of my neck, I think I'd rather wind it myself.
I hear you. Okay.
Okay. Point two. D. Point two D. We have discussed this before. It starts with the word. We have discussed this before. I have this device, but I have not have the switch for it. It's model 5046E, high-speed electro-optic gating system. That was laser metrics. If you click on that link and go down with that till you see the first picture of this device, which is the square-like. That's the page number 10.
I'm on page number 10.
Okay. On page number 10, you see two devices. They are the same devices. The only thing is that the upper one, which is the squarish, is the older version of it, but they are the same. Now, what's happening here is, on the right-hand side, you see high voltage, and then you see BIOS. The high voltage gives me from 0 to 10,000 volts DC. The knob that is black circle on right above that says high voltage adjust. Now, to the right of the high voltage connector On the right-hand side, you see BIOS. The BIOS is about 780 to 800 volts. I don't know what is that being used for, but the high volt is supposed to be connected to the Q driver, which is connected with the optics. It does have a high power MOSFET. BIOS, I don't know what is the role on it. Now, if you look at the bottom on the right-hand side, it says outputs on and off. Output on is giving me the leading edge. Off is giving me the trailing edge. Let me jump. When we discussed the 700 kilovolts device, we have had a very much similar structure, which the fiber optics were delivering the leading edge and the trailing edge. Do you follow so far?
I think I do, and I think there's two separate fiber optics. One fiber optic cable on the output of on turns on all of those transistors to do the leading edge, and the other fiber optic labeled output off fires all those transistors that give you the trailing edge. That's my guess as to what might be going on.
Okay, so basically in this little device that I have on my shelf, I have everything prepared for this operation. All I need is a MOSFET chopper. I don't have the device, and if you could give me the suggestion, what could I do? Now, this device, either it doesn't have a generator inside. What is happening in here is that you have something that is being called on the left-hand side gate signal, internal or external. This is the switch. So I can switch to the internal or external. Now, when I switch to internal, then right above that I see photo, monitor, and the trigger. With the trigger I can and sensitivity. In other words, I don't remember exactly how it works, but when you look below gate signal, internal or external, let's say I switch to external, there is a in-out delay, external gate, and there is a something that is a black circle between AC on and external gate. The black circle is nothing else but BNC connector for the generator. So I was able to generate, to connect the generator, that black circuit on the left hand side on the bottom next to the switch AC on, and I was able to even regulate the in-out delay and pulse width independently if I don't have to do it from the generator. Now, I have leading edge, I have the trailing edge. What would be the suggestion for me to for the switching MOSFET that would...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel. I heard everything on the input, so don't worry. Those outputs on the lower right-hand corner, on and off, are those BNC connectors also? So one BNC connector issues a pulse that I guess becomes the leading edge, and the off probably issues a pulse that becomes the trailing edge. Is that true?
Correct. And if you look at the two big black circles in the middle, those are a precision potentiometers with 10 turns giving me very much precise ability to regulate the pulse width and in-out delay. So basically I have everything what I need apart just from the switch by itself. And to exit.
It sounds like the driver transformer and power transistors that Glenn is in the process of coming up with a schematic, it's beginning to sound like those outputs of this 5046E is capable of firing those. I'm also getting the impression that the in-out delay and pulse width and does exactly that. In other words, you just simply trigger this circuit and it makes the pulse for you, and every pulse will be the same. and therefore as you make the triggers happen faster or slower, you'll be increasing the pulse rate, but each pulse will stay the same. What's unique about this pulse generator? Does this thing make very high voltage pulses?
What is unique about it, it was made for the lasers. The high voltage slicing network, which was a MOSFET network, was built into the external head, which is being called Q-switch inside that head, and was firing higher voltage directly into the optics, creating the impulses. Now, this thing is capable of 1.5 nanosecond pulses rising time, up to approximately, if I remember, 1.2 microseconds. So, if I only had a MOSFET switch, I could use the high voltage that is regulated manually from 0 to 10,000 volts, let me jump, right out of the high voltage BNC connector called high voltage on the right hand side up, then bias is 780 volts, I don't know what is that for, I don't have to use that. Then I have a low voltage on and off, which I could utilize to drive the MOSFET slicer at 2HVM.
Is there something on that front panel saying low voltage on and off? I didn't see that.
No, it is not, but outputs are low voltage. Outputs on and outputs off, which is the leading edge and the trailing edge, are low voltage. And 2HVM.
Okay. The outputs on and off, low voltage, how many volts is question number one. The high voltage output is how many volts and capable of how many milliamps?
I believe it's about 10 volts, both of the leading edge and the trailing edge outputs. It says in here just 50 for input. Oh, it says under the description. Let me go to it. Output on and off. The page right above, page nine. Let me jump. Output BNC on and off. Connect the initiating trigger pulses right at the bottom of the page nine. Pulses produced by 5046ER to the 8050 module. That's what I don't have. 8050 module is that Q switch with optical head assembly. On corresponds to the leading edge of the high voltage output pulse and off to the trailing edge. I believe it was about 10 volts.
Okay, that makes some sense. And the high voltage adjust, once again, how many volts and how many milliamps does that make?
It goes to 10,000 volts and I believe about 350 milliamps.
Does Glenn think that that's enough voltage that... if it's fed to these switching transistor circuit that is slowly being derived, that will be able to accomplish the function?
Yeah, that is my strong belief. I'm trying to say high voltage adjust control on the page number 9. Provide a low level approximation to the output pulse with an arc as the synchronization pulse. Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm reading monitor. Type 1 high voltage supplies are standard and provide a single adjustable high voltage output to the model 8050 high voltage switching module. That's the module that I don't have. Located in optical head assembly, OHA. Yes, I measured that that voltage is precise. Whatever it shows on the meter, that's what you're getting out.
The meter goes from what voltage to what voltage?
0 to 10,000.
That's a nice adjustment range. Go ahead, John.
Don't forget, Dick, he has a separate high voltage supply. He's only looking to put in 1,000 volts into Glenn's transformer. So he could use this to gate the same MOSFETs that Glenn was talking about and use the power supply he has, which will be able to supply the current, because I don't know if 350 milliamps is going to be enough. His transformer is going to require 500 milliamps, I think he said, just for magnetization.
Understand, his high voltage power supply goes to how many volts at how many milliamps, John?
I think 5,000 volts. Wesley, what is the milliampere rating on that? Do you remember? And you remember, you only need 1,000.
Well, high voltage power supplies DC, I have probably 5 or 6 of them, and one of them is that John has also. It's a beauty. It's Stanford Scientific, a model PS150, 5,000 volts, 25 watts.
Not enough.
To 50 milliamps, I believe, high voltage power supply. This thing is regulated to 1/10 of the volt from zero. No, I believe from not from zero, from 20 volts to 5,000 volts. So if we're talking about another option, this is the one. Then I have a few others, probably 2 or 3 in the basement of a second house. Also about from 3,000 volts, 1,000 volts, but the those are very high current, and 10,000 volts as well.
Glenn had something to say.
What do you think is the right number of watts required, Glenn?
To drive the lamp waveforms that Wesley's looking at right now, the magnetization current, just to get beyond the magnetization current on the primary at 1 kV, is going to be about 500 mils. So you're going to need half an amp at 1 kV just to drive the magnetization. Then you're going to have to drive the rectifiers on the other side, some other capacitors, and snap a caduceus coil and some spark gaps and some other things. So I'd want to have like at least an extra amp, maybe an amp and a half. So I would think you want at least a 1,500 watt, 1,000 volt power supply, and maybe even put a nice, you know, 1 microfarad, 1,000 volt capacitor, you know, or, you know, a couple 1,000 volt capacitor across the transistor drivers that are driving the primary of that transformer. So that you've got enough current to drive those pulse waveforms.
Yeah, that's an interesting comment, Glenn. The thing is that I need an arbitrary waveform generator in order for me to find out exactly what's going on there. But in original application, we have used IDAS power supply, which was driven by the small green transformer that was of the size probably 1/2 inch by 1/2 inch, or maybe less, and it was working perfectly. The thing is, I have that power supply on my desk. I don't want to use it. I don't have a part for it. I don't have a schematic for it. I don't want to damage it. It's just like something that, it's a last reserve. The arbitrary waveform generator, whatever it takes, whatever power it consumes, it doesn't matter. The matter is for me to make the exact accurate measurement and to exceed.
Okay, let me make a comment on this one. I agree with you that when you know what the waveform is that you need, eventually this circuit could probably be made in, you know, milliwatts. It probably has to be a very, very small circuit. But the problem right now is you really don't know what the waveform has to be until you have like a lab type of relationship. So now you need something that's going to have sharp, high, fast rise times and fall times with an arbitrary generator that'll go from like 10 kilohertz to maybe 100 kilohertz, maybe even beyond. You don't know what that's going to be yet. So until you actually figure that out, you're going to have to use some power electronics to figure that out first, to get the lab performance, to get the waveforms that are understood, and then if you want, maybe we can come back, review, and once you know the waveforms that you need, give you something much simpler to actually drive it with. KC2QIQ.
I agree with you, but your suggestion to that laser magic that we discussed, that has leading edge and the trailing edge and the high voltage and I could slice it, is not to bother with that or just design a simple circuit that will just do the slicing and to XGS.
I think you can do the slicing relatively inexpensively. To build the isometrics type of driver that's going to go into that piece of lab equipment that's going to fit inside and be thermally okay and operate in the lab performance might be a lot more expensive than you think. So it might be very, very complicated, and that could turn into a whole project and development all on its own.
Okay, so you say just that circuit that is in the optical head, 8050, that is doing the slicing using a ready-to-use 1 to 10,000 volts DC might be not worth the effort. Is that what I should understand from that?
That, and the other thing you may have run into the problem at the end is it may not have the power that you need initially.
Dick and Glenn, do you know, guys, how much power was consuming laser in order to operate properly? I mean, this was made for the laser application and to XGS.
I think that's a tough one. There are lasers that run on a fraction of a watt, and there are lasers that run on many kilowatts. There's all kinds of lasers. Of the 1,000-volt power supplies that you have right now, Wes, which of your 1,000-volt power supplies can issue what current? What's the maximum current you can generate at 1,000 volts with the stuff you have right now?
5 amps.
Wow, that's more than enough. That into the right kind of switching transistors with the right kind of a drive waveform going into those, I think is going to give him everything you want that he wants. What do you think, Glenn?
That's been the approach that I've been suggesting. You know, having, you know, a kilovolt power supply that's got a couple of amps of capability to it, having, you know, two power MOSFETs, driving the transformer, pulling it up, pulling it down, and then just basically have a nice little drive transformer driving those, and then feed that with a little, you know, MOSFET driver driving that little drive transformer going directly into his pulse generator. So basically it's just a, you know, a driver IC powering a little drive transformer, two secondary windings off of the drive transformer driving the two power MOSFETs, and then the power MOSFETs swing basically against a kilovolt that, you know, that 5-amp power supply, and that should give him all the waveforms with the good rise times that he's looking for. I think a lot of the other waves is going to be much more difficult, even though this may take a little bit of getting used to, Wesley. KC2QIQ.
There are Hewlett-Packard pulse generators that are intended for T-squared L-like circuits, which will run from one pulse every second to one pulse every microsecond. And you can adjust the pulse height, the rise time, the fall time, the DC offset, and so on. That driving what? Would that have enough steam to drive your MOSFETs directly? No. There's got to be an intermediate circuit, is what I think we're saying here.
We're dealing with two devices. One device is only 1,000 volt device, which would be made with two power MOSFET the way that Glenn suggests. All I need from Glenn is just a schematic and eventually some advice how to do it. Now, the second one would be a device that utilizes a high voltage source, DC, and tap it to the proper frequency with the high leading high speed rising and the falling time. So both of these eventually beam plan can help me out with that. I don't believe that it would be a problem for me to build. Dick?
Yeah, what is the intermediate circuit that's going to drive the 5 nanofarad gate of those power transistors running on 1 kilovolt power supply? What's the nature of that circuit that produces the drive to those FETs, Glenn? Go ahead.
Yeah, generally those devices are, there's a couple of companies that make them. One of the cheaper ones that are actually pretty good, a company called Micrel makes a really, really nice MOSFET driver that's capable of 5 amps of, 5 amps that's like on a 12-volt power supply. So basically you could take your random waveform generator, put it into the input of the of this little Micrel 8 little pin device, and basically the output of that device will drive, 5 amps up and down into the little drive transformer. So you don't even need a very, very low primary inductance on that. You can just have a few hundred microhenries of winding inductance on that little drive transformer. And as long as it can basically drive the transformer without saturating from 10 kilohertz to a few hundred kilohertz, and as you go higher in frequency, it just gets easier for the transformer. But then again, it's kind of a balance because the capacitance becomes more of an issue as you go higher in frequency. So it's almost a wash. So that should work pretty well. And that's why you kind of need that little 5 amp driver to drive the gate to source capacitances up and down. And then, of course, then just a very, very simple, like a little 50 ohm generator driving that little Micrel device shouldn't have any problem at all.
Micrel, what model number and roughly how many dollars?
I don't have the model number off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look for one this week. But I think they have up to 9 amp drivers, that run up like a little 12-volt source. They're usually, a couple of bucks, maybe $1 or $2.
That sounds like a nice circuit. So right now the only thing that's in doubt is the transformer that drives the gates, the 5 nanofarad gates. That transformer, getting one that goes down to, let's say, 10 kc is the only difficult item right now. Is that true?
Yeah, because I would say that right now, if you wanted to operate from like 100 kilohertz to probably just short of a megahertz, most of the typical drive transformers that are off the shelf would probably work. But, it's the 10 kilohertz requirement that's probably just going to require some extra handling there. I'll look around and see if there is something commercially available, but I think, as I said, nobody really works in those frequencies for square wave pulse driving anymore.
The effect he's looking for. Two questions. Why should it favor a particular frequency, and maybe it's resonance of the transformer? That's question number one. And question number two, the Glenn transformer, I should know, what's the primary to secondary turns ratio, or voltage build-up ratio? Over to you, Glenn.
Yeah, the ratio of that transformer was originally set up for 10 to 1. So basically the primary winding on that, the ratio of 1, let's say, it's actually 25 turns. And, 25 turns to 250 turns with setting up the 10 to 1 ratio. And that transformer is good to 10 kilogauss. Four kilogauss operational without saturation. So with 1 kV on the input, the magnetization current at, 4.5 millihenries, it needs at least a half an amp in order to drive that thing up and down. Now, initially, when he was describing the fluke for me that could put out a kV, I thought, certainly a half an amp shouldn't have been problems because he was describing this with these very, very four large power tubes. But unfortunately, that thing is limited to, less than 200 milliamps. So it was probably Unfortunately, we didn't get the correct specs on the Fluke in time by the time the transformer was built.
I believe it's rated 200 watts total.
Which might not be enough. So 4.5 millihenries is the primary winding with the 25 turns. 4.5 kilogauss is the saturation of the core. And therefore, you could work out what voltage you could put on the primary at each individual frequency before you hit that saturation. Is that one way of looking at it, Glenn?
Yeah, exactly. Like 10 kilohertz with a KV on it, 50% duty cycle, that thing should just cruise right along.
So, there we go. 10 kilohertz, 1 KV primary, 50% duty cycle. You would not be, I think you're saying you would not yet be in saturation of that core.
It's 2,500 perm material with basically 1 square inch of cross-sectional area.
Well, waveform somewhere from 15 kilohertz up to 100 kilohertz. No distortion seen whatsoever. I was driving it more, about 1 megahertz, I got a gain, no distortion. Then I believe I went to 5 megahertz with that. I did have some distortion in certain areas, but it was nothing compared to the flyback. This thing is absolutely beautiful.
It does sound like it's very well done. A quick guess, Glenn. At 10 kilohertz, 1 kV waveform, square wave, 50% duty cycle, make a rough guess. Are you 90% of the way towards saturation of that core under those conditions?
Yeah, at 10 kilohertz, that's the real bottom end. Much below that, at that point, you're almost at the point of looking into iron and going with the heavier plates.
Understand. Now, if one of the things he's looking for, which he may not know, is that he would like the transformer to saturate and then fly back out of saturation, if 10 kilohertz is close to the bottom, and if for some reason he wants to run it at 20 kilohertz, he'd have to either double the duty cycle or double the voltage in order to get back to the same amount of saturation of the core. Is that approximately true?
Actually, yes, but there's much better ways of doing it. The better ways of doing it are to put a capacitor in series with the transformer and the MOSFET driver that we're talking about here, and then put a resistor over the in parallel with the capacitor, and then when you drive the waveform generator, just drive the waveform beyond 50% duty cycle.
With the capacitor you're talking about, we are or are not coming into anything close to resonance of the primary winding at that frequency. Go ahead.
No, there's no resonance involved here at all. As a matter of fact, I'm saying even use like something like a 10-ohm or a 15-ohm resistor in parallel with like a 1 microfarad 600-volt capacitor. Because the voltage drop on the capacitor, even at 10 kilohertz with 1 microfarad and a 10-ohm resistor, a high-power resistor in parallel with it, it's just to give it a little bit of symmetry. And the idea is that once you start going beyond 50% duty cycle, then now the transformer becomes imbalanced and will go into saturation.
I think I'm beginning to see what's going on here. If you're using anything but a 50% duty cycle symmetric square wave, then you're creating a DC voltage. Any DC voltage in the primary is going to tend to saturate in one direction. By capacitive coupling, you'll never saturate in one direction, and whatever duty factor square wave you put into it, it will reshift itself so that the area above 0 volts and the area below 0 volts are always equal. Is that approximately right, K2RIW?
You don't even need the capacitor, Dick. As long as the duty cycle is less than 50% duty cycle, the reset time will always be equal and opposite in the other direction. The volt seconds will always balance. But the minute you go beyond 50% duty cycle, if you put more on time into the transformer, beyond the it can't reset the volt seconds. So basically what happens is the transformer will go into saturation.
It would saturate if it wasn't capacitively coupled. And now by him putting a resistor across that capacitor and adjusting that resistor, he can adjust the amount of saturation to see if that gives him a desirable characteristic. Is that a possibility?
Right on. And that resistor and capacitor gives him a very, very lab-controlled ability to go into saturation and watch it very, very easily. So in other words, as he goes over the edge, it just doesn't crash and all the signals drop out, because that R and C over there, basically what it's doing is he can sneak up on the edge of saturation and look at the results.
By way of 4.5 millihenries in the primary, we can easily calculate when you put a capacitor across the primary or in series with the primary, either one, and there's advantages of each. We can calculate for each capacitor what is the resonant frequency. As a resonator, this thing could have pretty high Q, couldn't it?
Generally not, especially in the voltage mode transformers. You have the magnetization current there. By putting the capacitor in series, that resonant point is way out of the picture.
I see that. I've got to leave you guys. I was supposed to leave you at midnight. 73 you all. T2RIW, this was Signet number 1380. See you guys next week. Bye-bye for now.
Good night.
73 Sig, have a good week. KC2QIQ.
Dick, thank you very much for your help, and I appreciate it very much. Have a good night. Glenn, if you go to point number 2G, it says small plate with a big plate capacitor. It was Russian, but it was translated to English. And this is something that I believe is very much interesting. It is being called asymmetric capacitor current gain. That I believe is worth your attention. Back to you.
Yeah, you have to excuse me, Wesley. I have to drop out of here myself. I got a very early morning this morning. A little bit later on this morning, so I better get some sleep now. Let me see, 73, so we'll have to pick this one up later. I'll try to get a schematic to you sometime during the week. KC2QIQ. Have a good one, guys.
73, fine.
Glenn, thank you very much. I'm sorry that I kept you so long. And to XJN, have a good night.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, code number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
It looks like we're going to lose the repeater.
No, I don't think so, Wes. I think that's just the link dropping out.
Yeah, for everybody who's listening to that conversation, all of the links for that discussion were sent to Bernie, and they are available. So anybody who was following these schematics should have much easier to understand it, but for some of the folks who didn't have the links but they are interested with the conversation, you could go to the web page, and John is going to repeat that web page and take the schematics, and eventually by listening to the recording of that that conversation later on, follow of what we were talking about. John?
Yeah, Wesley, that hasn't been established. I haven't been informed on how they get the info out of Dropbox, but I know it's in there. And I also sent it to Bernie, because I didn't think it went into Dropbox properly, but evidently it did, because it was in there when I took a look.
Yeah, question for you. Are you tired, or you want to stay just a little bit longer?
Yeah, give me a minute. 1 second, I'll be right back.
And to exceed.